ScientificWrestling.com presents Lion's Share Legends Volume 4. Jake Shannon interviews Frankie Kane.
Frank?
Yeah, hey, Jake.
How are you?
Good, how you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, I think most people are probably familiar with you from you know, the work stuff you did in the mid-60s, you know, with Rocky Smith and Jimmy Dykes, you know, the Infernos, and then later on with, you know, the Great Mephisto and all that kind of stuff. But really my emphasis of research is in the legitimate catch-as-catch-can side, you know, kind of the old school stuff.
Right.
Maybe you could tell me a little bit about, you know, your time in the carnivals, the Toho Club, your boxing stuff, Wayno Katonin, you know, all that kind of thing.
Okay. When the Toho Club was originated in Columbus, Ohio, and we went down and started working out. I was about 10. Tretch Phillips, a friend of mine that later turned pro and worked for about 25 years, Tretch Phillips, he was there. George Strickland, another guy that turned pro out of the club, was there. And Leon Graham used to come up here and work out. He turned pro and wrestled for about 20 years. But I was about 10. And then a lot of guys came down that was from Sweden. And they worked in the steel mills, and they wrestled not amateur style, but of course we never wrestled amateur. We didn't know what the hell we was doing. We just get in there and just trying to grab whatever was available. But back in those days, you had guys like Ray Steele and oh God, there was so many. Frank Wolf, that was a great hooker that later taught Carl Gotch when Carl Gotch first come from England, from Germany, I guess Carl went into England, and from England, then he came to the United States, and he learned a lot of wrestling in England. But the one that put the finishing touches to him, and which he would tell you himself, if you talk to him today, that Frank Wolf, my old coach, was the one that polished him up and showed him the hooking element of the business. Now this hooking style of wrestling, of course he was already an accomplished wrestler, but Al Heff, that was a promoter for about 40 years around Ohio, a German, was a good friend of Frank Wolf's. And Frank would come down and work out with us at the Toho Club. And he would tell Al Heff and about us. And then we went up to the Ohio State University. A guy came down from the newspaper and did a write-up on us. And we was doing the hooking style wrestling. We didn't know anything about amateur wrestling. Matter of fact, we never seen any amateur wrestling. Took us up to Ohio State University. I think Casey Fredericks was there then. He was the coach. He invited us to work out with his wrestlers, but we had to do it amateur style. And well, this was unfamiliar with us. You can't bend against joints, and they go for rides and take downs, and that's where they check up points. No bending against joints, And we thought that it would look so strange to us because we'd started so young, and these old Swedish guys, and some from Lithuania, would come in, and they would wrestle this. They were, now these weren't professional wrestlers. They didn't wrestle for money, but they did a professional style that they had learned in Europe, and they, and then they would come in, get on the mat. And they was thrilled to have a place to work out. So they would teach us this hooking stuff, which later become very valuable to us when we went on the carnival. And so Frank Wolf, he was the epitome of a great wrestler.
So and Frank Wolf, then he. So he, where did he learn the hooks?
He learned in Germany.
I see.
And all the great Europeans, not all of them, but most of them, had started as amateurs, but then they learned this hooking method. And so when we went up to High State University, we asked the coach there, there was a newspaper man took us up there, named Ben Hayes. And so Ben said, let them wrestle their style. Well, we... started moving around the mat, and we'd hook them standing up, and they would scream like hell. They was a lot older than we were. We were still kids, 14, 15 years old. And I guess they was about 22, 23, something like that, college students. And so Casey, of course, Casey told, no, no, you can't do that. You can't do that style here. Well, and in the matches, I'm talking about professional matches now. When we went, the guys would use this method, but they would do it in a working sense. And we knew right away that they were working. But they would use this hook method, and the people, even though they didn't know wrestling, they would sense that you was in a dangerous position. You was hooked in a dangerous hold. Now your job was to work out of the thing. Of course, the heels would heel out, and the baby faces would make some kind of a move to get out. If you hooked him with it again, he'd have another escape route. Then he'd have another escape route. This is what thrilled the people. So when television first hit, they need a lot of action on TV. Guys couldn't go in there and lay around. But they weren't really laying around. Like, if they had a hold on a guy and the guy zips out of the hold, well, people don't believe you really got that hold on him. So they would get a guy in a hold, and they would use all the dramatics they could to work the crowd up. That's why Ed Lewis and them drew unreal money. And I went up. Frank took me up to an old hotel in Columbus called the Chittenden. Ed Lewis had contacted a eye disease called trachoma. He got it from a Turkish guy that he wrestled. Now, Ed was actually recognized as world champion all over. I mean, all through Europe, all over the world. He went to India, and he'd go to England and Germany, and he was recognized as the legitimate champion.
Yeah, he was a legit guy. Like, he could really go.
Right. And when he got that trachoma,